Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Christmas Is series, and the last couple of weeks we've been looking, just kind of talking a little bit about Christmas and maybe some of the things, looking afresh at the Christmas story and looking at what it is that we can take out of that rather than just being a nice story, some stuff that actually we can take away and go, what does that mean for me, for how I live, for how I celebrate Christmas, for the kinds of things that I do at Christmas? That's just a little bit too much gain. Amy, can you turn the gain down a little bit for me, sweetie? Thank you. So the first week we had Christmas is all about saying yes, and we looked at the way that Mary had to say yes to God and Joseph had to say yes, and that we have opportunities in our life where we kind of can either say yes to God or no to God, and some of the things that come out of that. Saying yes is a big Christmas thing, not in an overindulging kind of way. Sometimes we say yes to the wrong things, but saying yes to God is always a good thing, because even though we may not understand how it's going to work out, even though it may be scary and frightening, saying yes to God always leads to awesome things, just as Mary and Joseph discovered. And then last week, we looked at Christmas is being grateful and looked at gratitude and how important it is for us to be grateful for the things that we have. But this week, I want to talk about, as you can see up on the next slide, which I'll do, here we go. Oh, there you go. Oh, Skip, you did it for me. Christmas is sharing. Now, Christmas is a fantastic time. Like, sharing is caring, as my kids remind me sometimes, and is a popular little saying these days, isn't it? But there's a lot of what we do at Christmas time. We share around the table, we share gifts, we share time, and we share lots of things at Christmas time. But I want to kind of have a little bit of a look at the Christmas story through this lens of being about sharing. Can we do that? Okay. So firstly, we have Mary and Joseph. All right, now Mary and Joseph, we kind of like central figures at Christmas time. We know the basics of the story. Anybody not familiar with the basics of the Christmas story this morning? I think we probably, even our kids are probably like pretty familiar with it. We learn about it in Sunday school. We talk about it in church. Now, Mary and Joseph have this intensely personal kind of moment on that first Christmas, isn't it? For those of you who are parents, you might remember what it was like when your first child was born. And parents these days are becoming a far more assertive in how they want to do things. There's a lot more choice and freedom. And there's such a thing that I've since discovered after having my children. Nobody told me this at the time, but there's such a thing as a baby moon. Who's ever heard of a baby moon? BB has. All right. So yeah, kind of. It's a familiar term. It has a couple of meanings. One of the things that parents sometimes do is after their baby is born, they say, "No visitors. Everybody keep away. This is just like our little time to get to know our newborn baby." All right. So this is. I've since come to discover that it can also mean like when people take this holiday before they're about to have a baby because it's like their last chance. But nobody ever told, I don't know why anybody never told me about that. That was a thing. So we have Mary and Joseph, and they're here, and they're probably absolutely exhausted. Mary's just given birth. Baby Jesus is probably sleeping finally, and, you know, all this kind of stuff going on. I love this picture. This is not your traditional nativity scene, but I love it because there's kind of a little bit of realism in here, isn't there? Mary was probably having a bit of a nap because she was super tired and exhausted from giving birth and all that kind of stuff. And here's Dad, you know, having a little cuddle of the baby as new dads do. But so Mary and Joseph, they could have done the, no, keep everybody away. Like, don't come in, don't breathe your germs on the baby, don't get your, you know, sheep poo on the baby, you naughty shepherds, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. These were guys who kind of slept out in the fields with the sheep, right? They probably carried sheep around when they got lost. They'd be walking through the dirt. But Mary and Joseph chose to share this moment. And they chose to allow other people to come in and share this this very personal time, this very intimate kind of moment, this kind of this special time. And you know, sometimes God calls us as people to let others into our life. God challenges us and wants us to let people in to see the things that He's doing in our life. When He's doing something special, He says, don't keep it to yourself. Let people see what's going on with you right now. And that can be a really challenging thing at times. Some of us are, you know, some of us are hard on the sleeve, open door policy, like, you know, everybody's welcome, you know, the more the merrier kind of people. And others are a little bit more like, you know, you need to ring before you come and visit me kind of people. Others are a little bit more like, I just need this, you know, this time for me, and too many people gets exhausting. And you know, so for some of us, this is harder than it is for others. But God, I think, does something really powerful when we open up and we allow people to see some of the things that are going on within us. And there are times when this is actually really important, both for us and for others. Now, I want to share with you a little scripture that at first you might go, what does this have to do with anything? But then I'm going to explain it, all right? So bear with me for a second. This is in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Now, some of you are probably familiar with that last bit, right? Sometimes we say, you know, we talk about this whole day. You know, whenever someone asks you about the reason for your hope, always be ready to give an explanation. But I kind of read this again, and this verse popped into my mind, and I thought, does this fit or doesn't it? And then I kind of read the couple of verses before, and I thought, what is Peter talking about? What is he actually encouraging the readers to be mindful of? Now, if we look at the first couple of verses, you look at this whole issue of suffering. He's talking about, you know, if people want to harm you. Now, we've got to remember that this is a time when it's dangerous to be a Christian. It's dangerous for the wrong people to know that you're a Christian. All right? Do we remember that about early church? There was a lot of persecution. There was the Jewish leaders. Like, you could be in trouble with the Jewish leaders. They could have you arrested. Remember the story of Saul, how Saul got permission from the high priest to go around persecuting these Christians and throwing them in jail and putting them to death. You know, not to mention the whole, you know, Roman thing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. There was a lot of persecution. There was a lot of risk if the wrong people found out that you were a believer. But what is Peter saying? He's saying, you know, even if you suffer for doing what's right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. But he goes on, he says, and if someone asks you about your hope, always be ready to explain it. He says, if someone shows a little bit of interest, don't shy away in fear from talking about why you have hope. You talk about being vulnerable. this is what Peter is challenging the readers of the day to be incredibly vulnerable about sharing their faith, putting their lives on the line in order to share their faith with somebody. Now, sometimes I think, you know, sometimes I struggle with sort of the level of vulnerability sometimes that I'm not too comfortable with, you know, and sharing too much about myself or, you know, sharing my weaknesses and things like that. I joke about it sometimes, but, you know, when it kind of gets down to seriousness, sometimes that can be a challenging thing, can't it? Letting people see the real me. Letting people see me warts and all, you know, with all my flaws and my failings and my weaknesses and the things that I'm not good at, and, you know, seeing me who I am when I'm stressed and under pressure. But seeing, you know, the things too, when we open up and we allow people in to see the real us, then they get to see God at work too. And that can be a really powerful thing. Our testimony, our willingness to share with people, our stories, our willingness to open up and say, here's what God's doing in my life. Here's what a broken mess I was, but here's what God can do with someone even as messed up as me. requires us to actually admit how messed up we were in the first place and how much God is still, you know, working on us, how much we're still a work in progress. But it gives hope, it's power when we share that and we allow others to see that, isn't it? All right. Number two. So Mary and Joseph, that was sharing my story, letting people in. So we have the shepherds. Now, we know a bit about the shepherds, don't we? We know that there was kind of the shepherds were out in the field and the angels came. And in Luke chapter 2, it says they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. You know, Christmas is a great time to share God's story. Christmas is a great time for sharing God's news. Christmas is a time of celebrating, isn't it? Really, when we think, for most of us, when we think Christmas, we think, you know, parties, we think celebrating, we think, you know, getting together with friends and, you know, sharing some drinks or a meal or opening gifts. It's the whole decoration thing just says celebration, doesn't it? It's really kind of what the whole thing's about. It says, you know, we've got some good news to share. We've got something to rejoice about. We've got something to be glad about. And Christmas is a great opportunity for us as Christians. You know, you can look past all of the, you know, whether you or not you like the gift giving, whether or not you like the decorations, whether or not you like the commercialized kind of aspect of Christmas, there's still a fantastic openness to talking about the Christmas story. There's still an incredible opportunity to talk about Jesus, the reason for the season. And there's kind of an openness that people have at Christmas time that sometimes they don't have at other times in the year. It's sometimes easier to find a little opening at Christmas time because Christmas is all about Jesus. And everyone wants to talk about Christmas, you know, what are your plans, what are you doing? And sometimes it's easier at Christmas time to find those little opportunities and those openings and those conversation kind of little ins to start talking about going to a Christmas service or talking about Jesus or talking about, you know, I love Christmas because it's all about Jesus or whatever it is. But there's great opportunities that we have to share good news. And just like the shepherds who went out and they're like, wow, this is exciting, this is great news, you know, we too have great news. This is essentially the gospel is the greatest treasure that we have to share. The greatest thing that we have to share with anybody is this awesome good news about what Jesus has done. Jesus came to earth and lived as a perfect man and died as a sacrifice for our sin in order that we could be made right with God and welcomed into God's family. And, you know, so God has given us this incredible treasure of this knowledge, this good news of what he's done. And not only have we been given this treasure to share with others, but we've been given an instruction, we've been given commands to share. There's a great little verse in Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus is talking to his disciples and he sends them out with this instruction. He says, go and announce to them, talking about the people of Israel, he says, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy and cast out demons. He says, just go out and do a few impossible things. No problem. no pressure, guys. Just go out and do some impossible stuff and then everyone will know that God's here. But this last line, he says, give as freely as you have received. He says, you guys have been given this awesome news. You've been given this power. You've been given authority over sickness. So go and share it with people. And ultimately, isn't this what Jesus commands us to do? He says, when you think about what you've been given, when you think about the freedom that you've been given, when you think about the joy and the peace and the life and all the stuff that God has given you through your relationship with him, he says, now just, you know, God's poured it out abundantly, running over, you know, all this stuff God just pours into your life again and again and again just because he loves you. He says, now go and share that with someone else. Go and share that with some people around you. you know, go pray for some sick people, or, you know, share some good news, share God with somebody. So sharing God's story is one of the most important things that we can do this Christmas time. And number three, sharing what I have. I always remember the story of, and I often come back to this and relate things to this, but in the story of Moses, you know, and God is, you know, the whole burning bush thing, and God's like talking to Moses, and Moses is like, you know, I'm nobody and I've got nothing, you know, why are you calling me? You know, and God says, what have you got in your hand? Do you remember that bit? And Moses goes, oh, I've just got a, you know, shepherd's staff type of thing. And God says, all right, I'll use that. Sometimes the challenge for us, you know, and what God says to us is, what have you got in your hand? And we've all got something. None of us can stand before God and say, God, I've got nothing to give. I've got nothing to share. None of us can say that. I don't care what your circumstances are. None of us can stand before God and say, I've got nothing, because God says, oh, what have you got in your hand? You know, what have you got in your, what have you got in your kitchen cupboards? What have you got in your bank account? What have you got, you know, in your home? What have you got in your car? What have you got in your heart? All right, the Magi, the wise men. All right, they're some interesting looking fellas, aren't they? All right, Matthew chapter 2, we read the story, and I just want to select this a little bit from verse 9 to 11. It says, so the wise men have just been meeting with Herod, and, you know, the whole story with Herod, it says, you know, once you find him, come and tell me so I can go and worship him too, you know, plotting to kill him all the time. So it says, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they'd seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is what these guys had in their hands. This is what they had in their treasure chests. You know, for us, we don't have too much myrrh lying around. Didn't find any frankincense when I opened the bathroom cupboard this morning. Not real well stocked up on gold either. sadly, that's about it as far as my gold content goes. My wedding ring, I think that's about the extent of gold. There's probably some gold circuits in my phone or my watch or something, but not too well stocked up on gold. But we kind of get the idea, don't we? You go, what have we got that we can share? Last week we talked about being grateful and being mindful and starting to turn our thoughts towards all of the things that we actually do have that sometimes we don't think about very much, that sometimes we take for granted, that they're just kind of there, and we don't actually stop and recognize them as being gifts that we ought to be grateful for. And I think as we do that, God starts to go, actually, you know what? I blessed you with that, but I'd love it if you would share it. I'd love it if I could bless somebody else through you. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. In Luke chapter 3, this is John the Baptist. So this is kind of pre-Jesus ministry. But as people were coming, remember John the Baptist, he was out in the wilderness and he was baptizing people in the Jordan, and he's telling all the people to repent because the kingdom of God's coming and the Savior's about to come, and the people are really, like, there's a lot of people that are buying into John's message and listening to what he says, and they're like, what do we do? What do we do? Because he's warning them. He's saying, you know, you guys need to change your ways. You need to repent. You need to change your thinking, to turn around and behave differently. And he says, what do we need to do? And this is what John says. He says, the crowds asked, what should we do? And John replied, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. So he says, there's this whole idea of, you know, share what you've got. Romans chapter 12. So share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is a great way to share. By practicing hospitality, have someone around for a meal. You know, awesome, fantastic. It's kind of all based around this idea that we need to see one another as being members of the same team. That whole, you know, when you see a good cohesive team in whatever it might be, in a sporting event or something, a team that works together, you have players that are willing to sacrifice the glory for the sake of the team. That's what makes a good team, isn't it? When you kind of go, it doesn't matter if I get the credit for this goal, touchdown, score, try, whatever it might be, whatever sport you play. It doesn't matter if I'm the one who scores it. As long as our team scores it, we all win. And as a church, we need to have this mindset that when we win, I win. That when you win, I win. When I win, you win. That, you know, a victory is a victory is a victory. You know, it's kind of that church is a team sport. If you like, if you want to think about it that way, if that helps. But it's kind of that, it's not so much about, you know, and we see it again and again and again through Scripture, through the New Testament, through the Old Testament. God's way is we are family, we're a team, we work together. When I win, you win. When you win, I win. When the team scores, we all celebrate, we all rejoice, we all win. That's how we build that kind of God community that He wants for us. That kind of that kind of family environment that God says, this is where you flourish, this is where you grow, is when the team is doing well, you benefit. When the church is doing well, you get blessed out of it. Have you discovered that? Have you noticed that? It's amazing, isn't it? Philippians 2, verse 4 says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. It's this whole kind of, you know, again and again and again, we read the same kinds of thing. This is a principle that applies, through the church. And God says, this is one of the fundamental kind of things about how I want the church to work and operate. But it does require us to obviously do it with wisdom. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and Paul writes here, he says, whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. This is not just a case of, you know, the more you give, the better off you are. You know, he doesn't call us to put common sense aside. Have you ever noticed that when you're reading the Bible, when you're doing things with God, you notice that there is at times, you know, we're called to not set aside our brain. Like, God still is okay with us having a brain in our head and using it. He's given us that. Yeah? Yep, cool. All right, he goes on. He says, of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. So we've got to keep in mind, like wisdom in all things, that this is about sharing. It is about working together. It's about looking at what do I have that person lacks? And then that person can be looking at what do they have that I lack? And, you know, we share. Just like the early church in the book of Acts, and it says those who had stuff, they contributed it, and there was nobody who lacked. Like, everybody had enough. And that was that incredible sense of community, that incredible sense of what the church, that picture of what God designed the church to be, that often today we spend so much time kind of trying to figure out how we can get back to that. You know, but that's when God inspires. And it is all always motivated by love. It's never motivated by selfish ambition. It's never motivated by a desire for personal glory or, you know, recognition or admiration. It's always motivated by love. 1 John 3 says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. And John is, I guess, challenging us here. He's reinforcing, affirming to us That it is that love is the motivation. That it's God's, when God's love is in us, there's this whole kind of thing of, you know, if God's love is in us, if I love Gary here and I care about him, and God's love for him is in my heart, and I see him struggling and suffering, and I have the ability to relieve his suffering by sharing something that I've got, what is God's love in me going to say? What is God's love in me going to look like? It's going to look like sharing and relieving suffering. God's not really into suffering much, is he? No. You know, sometimes there's kind of suffering that shapes us and molds us and challenge, you know, causes us to grow, and God allows that, but, you know, unnecessary suffering, shall we say. And so God puts us alongside one another in order to share. Oh, what happened? Zoomed in. Wow, I must have pressed a button. Anyway, there we go. Back on track. All right. And this is God's heart in it all, is that we care for one another, that we look at, you know, how can I share? How can I make your life a little better in order to free you up, enable you to share what you have, to enable you to grow in your relationship with God? So what do you have this morning to share? What do you have in your life? What have you been blessed with? What are the things? Maybe if you were here last week, if you listened to last week's message, maybe you've been thinking about that a little bit. Maybe you've been making an effort to be a little bit more conscious of the blessings that God has given to you. Maybe God's just been stirring that in your heart anyway, even though you didn't listen to last week's sermon. But in this Christmas season, when it's all about celebrating the great giver, it's all about celebrating God and Christ coming to earth, the greatest gift of all time. When God shared himself with us, when God shared all of his glory and all of his riches with us. You know, that's what he did. The Bible says that we are heirs of everything that Jesus is heirs with. We are joint heirs with Christ, Scripture says, which means everything that Jesus is set to inherit as the Son of God, we also inherit with him. That's pretty amazing when you think about it, isn't it? That's a pretty good superannuation plan. That's a pretty good retirement fund. I'm looking forward to that. But in this season, when we celebrate, you know, the God who gave the greatest gift, when God who shared his very self with us, what have we got to share with someone? What have we got to share that can give glory to him? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you first and foremost that you did give yourself to us, that you gave yourself freely and without reservation, without holding anything back, in order that we might be called your sons and your daughters, in order that we might be set free from the chains of sin and of death that held us and kept us captive and away from you. And Lord, we thank you at this Christmas season, this Christmas time, Lord, as we focus in specifically on what you did. Father, we give you thanks. But Lord, we pray too that you would help us to be people who share, who love to share with those around. Lord, people of compassion who refuse to allow others to suffer or suffer lack when it's within our power to help, within our power to help alleviate or ease that suffering. God, help us to be people who are willing to share what we have and what we've been blessed with. But Lord, help us to be people too who love to share the greatest treasure that we've been given, the greatest treasure that the world has ever known, our relationship with you. Lord, the good news about how to be made right with God. Lord, let us be people who are eager and looking for those opportunities to share this incredible good news, this wonderful treasure that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, over the next few days as we celebrate with friends, with family, or whatever it is that we do, whether we gather together with other believers on Tuesday morning, Lord, we pray that this would be something that we're mindful of this Christmas season. That we look to share the blessings that we have. Lord, not to hoard them or keep them to ourselves, but Lord, to set an example for the world around us in how to be a blessing to others. Generosity and sharing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.